This is MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell, joined by Mike Broderick, who is the outgoing football coach at Saugus High School, now a defensive backs coach with Curry College. And Mike, I guess 13 years at Saugus High School as head coach. Prior to that, 5 years or another year as a defensive coordinator in Saugus. But I guess it's a switch from high school to college.
Yeah, it is. It's a big switch. I mean, there's different responsibilities. There's pros and cons to both. I mean, high school football, I loved. The kids in your school, because I taught, it was awesome. So I'd have them all day and then have them in the practices. So you created some great relationships. But now I'm looking forward to, venturing on to new things, in college where, it's a little more focused, where we're focused all on football. And there's the recruiting process and trying to get the players that we want. And, it's an exciting, new adventure for me. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. We'll talk about Saugus football in just a moment, some of the players and years here at Saugus High School. But, Mike, I want to just give me a little thumbnail sketch, because on Curry College football and where they are and so on. I know they draw from the North Shore, so we have North Shore players playing at Curry College. But what kind of attracted you to Curry and the connection, so to speak, and tell me maybe more about the program.
Yeah, what initially attracted me is I had sent some of the better players that came out of Saugus to Curry. Curry was active in recruiting the North Shore player. When Curry was winning the league for 5 or 6 consecutive years, they were loaded with North Shore football players. The head coach, Skip Bandini, he always talked to me when I was a head coach at Saugus about going after those hard-nosed, tough North Shore kids. So as I got into investigating a new job, and I talked to Coach Bandini, Curry was a place that really I was attracted to. I like Coach Bandini's philosophy. I like what he's doing with the kids. It's a real family atmosphere. We take care of those kids. And it was just the facilities. We're building brand new athletic facilities over there, so it's a great place. The school is really putting an emphasis on the student athlete. Our merit money has increased dramatically, so we're able to go get some real good student athletes. So,
go ahead.
No, just looking forward to it. It's an exciting thing. It's an exciting time to be around Curry football right now.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And in a way, it's a head coach. You need to do so many things other than actually coach. You know what I'm saying? It sounds, going back to kind of the roots, it's probably much more coaching, although you are recruiting, I understand, too.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, so a lot of times, when you first get a head coaching job in high school, I mean, that's what you dream to do. And so you dig in there, and then as you go through it year in and year out, you just find as though you're doing less and less actual coaching on the field. You're doing everything else, getting physicals, getting user fees, doing scheduling, ordering uniforms, ordering equipment. And so you get bogged down. Moving back now, back into college, where I'm not doing a lot of those responsibilities, I'm back into the nuts and bolts of coaching. I spend my day just working on technical things for the defensive backs. What do we want to do for schemes to defeat certain teams? I just spend my hours doing football. And then the added component, which I like, is recruiting. Going after the kids that we feel fit in our program, good character kids, tough kids, good academics. So it's good to get out there and just go get the kids that we believe will be good fits at our place at Curry.
So it sounds to me like you've already been a part of spring football at Curry, and the fall would start for them, their practices, in early August. So, tell me about, kids, are they, all the kids for the fall have already been committed, right, for the few, I would assume?
Correct. They've all committed. So our spring football, we had our 15 practices with the kids that were the underclassmen, which went really well. We have some good returning players. We were a young team last year, so we're really happy with the kids who are returning. And we've had one of the better recruiting classes in a couple of years. We have a number of kids that are like Division II type athletes that are coming in. We got 35 kids coming in, and we're looking at a lot of those kids participating this coming up year.
Well, let's focus now on Saugus football, Saugus High School. We're talking with Mike Broderick, former football coach at Saugus High School. And, Mike, you mentioned it earlier, but I think it really stands out is that whether you're a teacher, you work with students, one of the things it's not so much wins and losses. It's not so, that does matter. It's showing up at the games, but it's the kind of everyday things that kind of are what coaches tend to remember most is that, meeting the kids, seeing them in the hallway, out on the practice field every day, you know what I mean, in the weight room or whatever, and those relationships. Is that how you kind of look at those, you know, 14 years here in Saugus?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we're all chasing the W's. I mean, there's, you know, we'd be lying if we said we weren't. But when you do look back at it all, it is the interactions and the relationships you make with the players. I mean, you know, when I was here, our weight room training started in January, and those kids were under our eyes from January all the way to football. The football went as far as we could go, and then we had a couple weeks off. We started again. I was around these kids every day, you know, pretty much all year round. So you got to really know the kids. You get to help them. You get to hear their family issues. You get to hear some financial problems. You're trying to help them get into college. So you do really, you know, form a special bond with these young men. And it's something that, for me, is the most important part. And for the kids that I had who played for me at Saugus, they gave me everything they possibly could. They were as dedicated and committed as a group as I've seen. And I thank every one of the players who played for me, because it really makes, you know, for allowing me to be in their lives, because it really meant a lot to me to be around them.
Yeah, absolutely. And can you call out a few players over the years that kind of stand out? I mean, in different ways. I'm sure there's all different. You're not setting up categories here, but I know, you know, working with students that you remember certain students for all kinds of various reasons and so on. Not just a high academic student, but you know, they're humorous. They perform well on the field. They have a big game. All these different things. They practice hard. You know, there's so many different things that that you remember, you know, athletes by or your students. So, how would you take this question?
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, there's so many guys that played for me that did so many good things, whether on or off the field, especially off the field, because you know, it's behind the scenes, and they've been great kids. But a few things, you know, young man who teaches right here in the building, Brett Reed. He played for me a number of years ago when we were a 7-3 team back to back. You know, undersized quarterback, running triple option, NEC All-Star, item All-Star, just a tough, hard-nosed kid who, you know, which meant a lot to me. He came back into teaching, came back into coaching. He's been on my coaching staff at Saugus the past 3 years. So I felt really good about that I had some influence on him, and he chose, you know, education coaching as a career. I've had guys like Tom Trainer, who coached for me. His son, young Tommy, was a captain here. He led a team of, you know, in tackles. I think he averaged like 13 tackles a game. He was just a beast on the field, quiet kid. But on the field, he was just tough as nails. There's a lot. Justin Wynn, you know, he's a quarterback for me, ran for 1,200 yards after coming off an injury in a junior baseball season where he lost a sight in one eye. So he played his senior year blind in one eye. Kid who, you know, overcome adversity. Just tremendous. And that's only to name a few. It's just hard to go through all of them, but those are a few.
Now, how about this is what triggered my interview with you here today. Is I met earlier this week with Ben Smolski, the new football coach at Newburyport. Spoke very highly of you, Mike, and he was an assistant coach here in Saugus and a head track coach in Saugus. So you've also now had assistants move on and do different things as well over the years. That's always kind of rewarding. You want them to stay with you as they did, but you also want them to be able to move on. And I know in Ben's case, it was over teaching positions, moving from place to a couple of different places.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm so proud of Ben. I mean, Ben, when we came here, when I first met him, you knew he was a driven coach. We were so lucky to have him. He took over our weight room right away. And when we were good, a lot of it had to do with the weights, right? He really owned that weight room, and it was awesome. You know, and he has been a Newbury guy at heart all along, and so I'm so happy for him that he got his job up there as the head coach. He'll be tremendous. Those kids, they don't really probably know what they have, because he's going to be a ball of energy, and he's going to really push them. So I'm really proud of him. It's just great to see that with coaches. My assistant, Mark Cox, who's been with me all 13 years. He coached with me at Saugus for 13 years. He coached with me at Arlington High School for varsity basketball for four. He's now going to Salem High School as the offensive coordinator, and, you know, they're very lucky to have him. You know, he'll be pushing them like crazy, and so I'm happy for those guys.
And Salem coach Matt Bouchard, you had a connection with him too, right?
Correct. Matt was assistant coach of mine for 3 years. Once again, I knew right away he was driven. I knew he'd be a head coach eventually. And Salem looks like they're going in the right direction. So I'm proud of both of those guys.
Yeah, Matt's a great guy and does a really good job with Salem. Mike, how about was there a big game or a standout game that you kind of remember over the years?
Yeah, there's a few, but the biggest one right offhand, there's like three games, right? The one was when we beat PB on Thanksgiving. It was the first time they had won in 20 years. So since I'm not from Saugus, like I knew the record, but I didn't really have it all to heart. I heard people talking about it, and when we were winding the clock down and trying to take a knee in the mud, and the ball was falling out. Like, I was nervous because I wanted to win, but some of my assistants who were Saugus guys, they were, like, petrified. And I could feel, like, things, like, getting a little out of control. When the whistle blew and we won, you know, people stormed the field. We got on the bus. We were driving home. Cars were driving down Route 1, beeping. They followed us all the way home. The people celebrated at Saugus. It was incredible. So at that point, I knew how important the Peabody Saugus tradition was. And then the next game was when we beat Pentucket, who's a tremendous team, tremendous coach, Coach Hayden. We beat them, and that allowed us to go to the playoffs for the first time in the school history. And that was just an unbelievable feeling. Same thing. The fans, the parents, the student body, they couldn't get enough of it, and it was a really good experience.
What do you think about this playoff system? You must have some views on it.
Yeah, I know it can't be perfect, and I know guys who put a lot of time in it, a lot longer than I have tried to figure it out. There's flaws in it, but I think from some of the smaller schools like Saugus, if they're having these roller coaster years in terms of enrollment or ability or whatnot, having the luxury to play in the losers bracket isn't bad. It gets them to play in some football games. They can possibly win games and create momentum. The one thing I hesitated on is when we did make the playoffs, and you make a playoffs and you lose, and you have to go back and play those losing playoff teams, I do think that's difficult. I think that was tough on the kids. It's tough to regroup after the emotional high of getting in and then the lows of losing and then to go right back and play another good team. So I think there's good points and bad points. I just don't think it's going to be fixed in the near future to be perfect.
You know what I struggle with too, Mike, is it like, so you take Saugus, for example, the old days, let's go way back, maybe a 10-game schedule or 11-game, whatever it was, you knew who you were playing every single weekend. Okay, so you look at that model, and I'm not saying that model's good either, I'm just saying, but how does that compare to what you just described? Even if under a good scenario you make the playoffs, you lose, and then you can have to continue on. To me, I still struggle with the fact that, you know, nobody knows who you're playing until just before, you know, the week before, that week, so to speak. And I didn't know whether it meant more to be playing Salem on week 8 opposed to, you know, some other team that you never play or, you know, yeah. Or there's no sense of any kind of rivalry, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's if you do have the 10-game schedule, I agree with you. You have your yearly scouting reports. You've got 3 years' worth of scouting films. I mean, you are – prepped to play these games, so there is benefits to it. I go back to the old days when I first started Saugus, and we were playing those 10-game schedules, and even when I was at Arlington, if you lose the first two games in the league, you really weren't going anywhere. So you were just playing those games, and you know you look back, I think there was a lot more people involved in high school football then. They were going to the games, so people still went, but you know, that was an issue. Now, you could possibly be in a playoff hunt all the way to week 4, so you keep interest. But yes, once that's over and the playoffs are established, you aren't finding out. And the way it's been going lately is if, like, you don't go to the meeting, the MIA meeting on a Sunday morning, you might not find out till Monday afternoon who you're playing. So it's a little bit tough to try to prepare a football team, even though, you know, people are like, oh, you're in the, you know, losers bracket, you know. Kids and the coaches who are playing in those games don't look at it that way on Friday and Saturday night. I mean, they're still playing football games, and so you're trying to prepare like anybody else. So it was a little difficult the past couple of years.
Yeah, but I will say, you articulated a good comparison between the two schedules that I kind of talked about better than I've heard anybody else describe. So it's a good. That's a really good point about, you know, if you open up with the first two league losses. You know, one thing that didn't bother me too much was the old in the NEC a few years ago where your first five games were non-league and then the last ones were league. To me, that worked better than anything I've seen lately. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, because you could always tell your kids, we're getting ready for the league. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that Beverly team years ago, a few years ago, lost their first five games, won all the league games, and went on to postseason?
You're 100% correct. The model that we had those years, when we had the, it was like a North and South, the original North and South, and we had those non-league games, you're 100% right. You got to get the kinks out early. If you happen to stumble, you know, the season wasn't over. You still had to look forward to when you started the league, and you still were in it, and you're halfway through the season. And I remember back those first 2 years that we had that original break, every game that we played, and you talk to the coaches, every game was a one-touchdown game, at least in the small that we were in. And all the coaches were pretty much in agreement that that should be the format. Yeah. But then we changed it. And then it kind of went a little bit crazy. And
well, and now you can't do that because of the way the playoffs work, because the playoffs, you know, back into the season, obviously, as we all know. So anyways, well, Mike, anything else you want to share with us about whether it be Saugus football, moving on to Curry, anything else about head coach, being the head coach in Saugus?
Yeah, like I said, I've been extremely blessed and lucky to be associated with the people that have been in the Saugus football program, from the coaching staff to the kids. I mean, these guys, you know, committed their time out of their family to coach with me. We asked an awful lot of them. We asked them to travel. We took kids to the U.S. Naval Academy for 5 summers. They were away from their families. We were in the Holy Cross camp. They lift all year. They're at 6 in the morning. They're at 6 at night. So I asked a lot. So I've been blessed to have unbelievable guys that coach for me. And the kids, who are the best part of them all, the same thing. Our numbers may not have been the biggest, but I wouldn't trade those kids for anybody. Those kids ground out things for me. They worked hard. They lifted every day. It was just something I was proud of. So when I left here, you know, I want to move on to a new challenge. I have no regrets. These kids that played for me, I love them. They've been awesome, and I wouldn't trade them for anybody.
Gotcha. Well, Mike, thank you for all your help over the years. We appreciate it, and best of luck at Curry and all everything ahead in football for you.
Thank you very much, and thank you. You guys do an awesome job covering the North Shore football. Right. Really appreciate it.
Mike Broderick, again, former football coach at Saugus High School, just recently stepping down and now an assistant coach, defensive backs coach at Curry College, here on MSONewsSports.com.